Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim, and this is a very special show today.
Ding, 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 ding.
This
ding,
is our... Ding, ding, what are you doing?
I'm doing jingle bells. I'm doing the musical background.
This is our Christmas special, and it's called It's a Wonderful Life, George Bailey. And I have a gift to... I want to introduce my colleagues first, and then I'm going to give them their gift. First of all, I have with me the very talented, lovely, and festive Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, you don't sound like you're in the Christmas spirit.
Because she's shopping on Amazon on a phone right now.
Are you shopping right now?
I am not shopping right now.
Did you get your Twitter fix?
My Twitter, yes, it's fixed.
Your Twitter is fine?
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
She needs Twitter fix.
And I'm also joined by the very talented, very distinguished, the most dangerous man in podcasting today, the Honorable Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Timmy, I'm doing wonderful, and in the spirit of the occasion and the season, I right now have some mistletoe taped to my belt buckle. So it's been a wonderful day so far.
That's really inappropriate there, Colonel.
Let's do
some Christmas shout-outs, and we got a ton, because we're going to leave people out, and if we do, we're sorry. We want to wish all of our listeners a very Merry Christmas, but we've met a lot of cool people over the past year. We're going to leave people out. We're sorry, but some old standards we want to wish.
You know who we got to start with?
Who?
Well, okay, first of all, we got to start with Dottie.
My mom.
Everything Merry on this Christmas. Show starts and ends with Dottie Scott.
Yeah. Well, Merry Christmas, Mom.
And Dottie, Merry Christmas. We do these shows really just for you, or at least the Colonel does.
Mm-hmm.
Because I ain't getting no damn money for it. But anyway, Merry Christmas, Dottie. We appreciate your support. We appreciate you when we was first starting saying, you know, this is not garbage. You guys ought to keep
it. She
was
like the only one listening for a while.
I know. And your big crazy dumbass, Scott,
Merry Christmas, Scott K. And his girlfriend Amanda.
Thank you very much, Scott. You were there in the beginning. So it's been a good year for the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So
we have Canute, we have Lady Beverly. Very Merry Christmas to both of you. We have Casey, we have Young Brittany, we have Bill, I know I'm going to let Tara, we're going to leave people out. Celine,
Allie, Brittany Nicole,
and again, I don't want to leave anyone, Mary Ray, I don't want to leave anyone out. If we do, we apologize, but thank you all for listening. You know, this is our first year, we started last January. And it's been a blast, and we hope you stay with us for the upcoming year, because we got some cool stuff coming up, right, Colonel?
We got some stuff come up just blow your mind today.
Amazing stuff. But anyway, I want to have this podcast today because I wanted to give you guys your Christmas gift. Now, I thought about buying you something and spending money on you. Mm-hmm. But then that didn't seem right. That seemed to you were complaining, Colonel, just the other day about how materialistic Christmas has become.
Well, when I have to buy shit for other people, people got to buy stuff for me.
I was getting ready to go out shopping for you, and then you mm-hmm. said that, and then I thought, you know, it was like a
epiphany,
like a V8. I hit my head, and I said, he's right. I shouldn't be spending money. on him and Brandy. I should give him something more meaningful.
Something from your heart, Timmy.
Exactly.
Something from your heart.
So I decided that instead of giving you a gift that you would just, you know, use, I will tell you
something we would enjoy.
Yeah. Instead of giving something you would enjoy, I would tell you both a story. A story that has a lot of meaning for a lot of people, and hopefully it will enrich your life.
I doubt it.
So what do you think about that, Brandy? Are you overwhelmed with that?
I'm speechless. Overwhelmed.
Okay, I'm going to tell you a story.
I think I'm getting completely fucked. I wanted a box of chocolates. You know, I wanted anything.
Recap his every freaking sentence.
Okay. I'm going to tell you both a little story now. You just relax.
About a man named Jed?
You don't have to say anything.
No.
You can just sit there and enjoy it, or you can comment if you like.
I see.
I'm going to tell you the story of George Bailey. George Bailey was born in a small town of Bedford Falls, New York, in 1920.
And he lived in a small town.
He'll probably die in a small town.
That's probably where they buried George.
Yeah.
His father, Peter Bailey.
Quit doing that. Because I see it in the corner of my eye and it looks like you're playing with your penis. And
For the record, she's referring to the Colonel.
I don't like it.
I may or may not be.
It's weirding me out, dude.
So his father, Peter Bailey, was the president of the Bedford Falls Building and Loan. He was a good man who believed in helping others less fortunate.
Wasn't he a couple years later indicted in the whole savings and loan scandal?
No, that came a little bit later on. As a result of his kind and gentle nature, his family lived a very modest lifestyle, much like myself. George's mother.
Jesus God.
You got me for the whole hour. His mother was a housewife. She was a quiet woman who loved her sons and was always looking out for them. She sounds like a very nice lady, don't you think?
She could be.
Yeah, but rumor was she was banging a postman.
We don't know that. That's a rumor. George had a very happy childhood growing up in the small town of Bedford Falls. There were several events in George's young life which impacted his life and those around him for years to come.
You know, think about this, though, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
How cool would it be if you lived in a small town, your daddy owned a bank, okay?
He was president of the bank. I don't think he owned it.
Well, he's president of the bank.
All right.
Okay, now all
savings and loan.
Savings
building
and loan.
Building and loan. Building and loan.
Building and loan, which meant all the people in the town had their mortgages.
Right.
With him.
Yeah.
And you're playing baseball. And you know how when you play baseball, you get into the arguments over whether somebody was safe or out, whether it was a catch, whether it was not a catch. And what do? You have to do a do-over.
Mm-hmm.
But George, the little sumbitch he was, instead used to tell people, no, you're out, or my daddy foreclosed on your house.
He didn't say that at all.
He did it all the time. This is the thing I don't like about the movie. It only shows one side of George.
All right.
He's a prickly little bastard.
Well, George, when he was 13, there's a couple of events that impacted his life. When he was 13, he saved his brother Harry's life when Harry was drowning in a frozen pond. They were sliding into the pond on a shovel.
I hate that shit.
I know. Mm-hmm. And anyway, he saved. However, in the process of saving young Harry, George lost a hearing in his left ear. That's sad, don't you think?
Huh?
What?
Huh?
Yeah.
As George grew up, he started working as a young man at Gower's Pharmacy. Now, Mr. Gower was a good man, but he was depressed because his son had been killed in action in Europe during World War I.
Wasn't it about time he got over that?
Well, no. He just found out about it. He started to drink.
And this is back when you could get the cocaine.
You could. He was a pharmacist. He could get anything he wanted.
And anyway, he didn't know what he was doing.
What?
Everybody knows about Mr. Bauer, the pharmacist?
Gower.
Or Mr. Gower, the pharmacist? Yeah.
So he doesn't know.
No. Yeah. Half the women in town was coming in having to sleep with him to get the opioids.
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So he had the Oxycontin.
He had the Oxycontin back then. He got the women.
The Percocet.
The women come in with a little touch of rheumatism.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, here, try the Oxycontin. This will work good for you.
Try it three times a day for a month.
For a month. And then just a month later, they'd be, he'd like, oh, I can't give her no more.
On your knees, baby.
Yeah, oh, doctor, I need OxyContin. I'm a reasonable man. Yeah, half the women in town in there banging the pharmacist.
Okay, so that's not true. Mr. Gower was drinking one day, and he got a prescription to fill. And because he was drinking and he was upset over the loss of his son, he made a terrible mistake. And filling the prescription, he ended up being poisonous. Now, George, who was to deliver the prescription to the customer, noticed the error and did not take the drug to the customer. Now, Mr. Gower, when he found out about this, got pissed, started slapping George around.
Well, goddamn right. I don't care if it's poison or not poison. I tell your little ass to deliver it. You don't think. I didn't pay you to think. Deliver the damn medicine.
He did say that. How are you supposed to run some kind of underground drug ring if people question your every move?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well,
you had a little cabal there. You can't have people thinking.
It was not exactly like that. When he found out, when George explained to him that, you know, he had made a mistake, and he put a little bit on his tongue, he tasted it, Mr. Gower did, and he realized that George was right. So he started crying, he hugged George. It was a touching moment, and they became lifelong friends.
Mm-hmm. And then he fondled George inappropriately.
He did not.
Yeah, he did, because George... And then he started giving George, trying to get George to take the OxyContin.
No, he did not. Now, George had big dreams as a child.
Didn't we all?
We all do. Did the world crush him?
He wanted to be an engineer and travel the world. As a teen, he was nominated as a member in the National Geographic Society.
Boy, I bet that got him laid more than anything else.
Linoleum.
Yeah. Have you ever been nominated as a member of the National Geographic Society?
No, I have not.
All right.
But it's kind of like being the president of the AV club at school.
Yeah, kind of. I wonder if he had pimples. As a young George Bailey, he was overwhelmed by family obligations and a sense of responsibility toward his community. He felt tied down to the company, his dad's savings and loan, but he wanted to get out. You know, he's young, he had a lot of dreams. He wanted to travel, he wanted to see the world, but he felt stuck in his little small town.
Aww.
Oh, little candy ass bitch.
Now, George had two love interests growing up. One was a dark haired beauty named Mary Hatch.
Another was a sheep.
And the other was a woman named Violet. Now, she was a kind-hearted woman, but a bit of a slut.
Yeah. Hey. That's the one you go with.
Yeah, the slut. Yeah.
I always go with the slut.
Yeah. They really are better in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
Now, George was popular growing up, and he had a number of friends, including a weird little guy named Sam Wainwright. Now, Sam came from a wealthy family, but he had a... his family made a fortune in plastics, but he had an annoying little habit of placing his thumbs on his ears, waving his fingers, and saying "ee-aw."
So he thought he was a donkey.
I have no idea. I still don't know what that is. He did it for apparently no reason at all.
I believe it was from the fraternity he was in college.
Maybe. I don't know. No, he did this when they were young.
He did it when they was young.
Yeah, he did it when.
What happened to him? The pharmacist,
Mr. Gower, was banging
squeal, the boy, squeal.
Mr. Gower.
Yeah.
After high school, George saved money while working for Mr. Gower and was planning on going to college and then travel. But he said first he let his brother go, Harry, his young brother Harry, who fell through the ice. He went to college first and became second team All-American in football.
Ooh, second team All-American. Mm-hmm. You know what that is? Second loser.
That's right.
Second team All-American is first place loser.
Well, right? Yes, you're right. And
second place, remember this, listeners. What is second place, Devil?
The first loser.
The first loser.
Yeah. So, George was out with his sweetheart, Mary, and he found out that they came along and tell him that his dad had a stroke. So here he is getting ready to go to college, but his dad had a stroke. I got a little ahead of myself. He was getting ready to go to college. His dad had a stroke. And he had to stay to take over the building and loan because there was an evil man in town.
Snidely Whiplash.
His name was Henry Potter.
Harry Potter was alive back then.
Harry Potter was in town. He could make things better.
Yeah, Henry Potter. He was the richest and meanest man in town.
Now, you know, I've seen this, and what I don't get, didn't the son of a bitch have a wheelchair?
Yeah.
There's Why didn't somebody push his ass down the steps?
Yeah, there's only like 12 people in the whole freaking town. I mean.
So, Potter wanted to take over the savings and loan. He was on the board. He wanted to take it over. And they were going to fold, you know, they were going to close the built savings and loan. The board voted to keep it open only if George would stay and become president. So, wanting to keep his father's dream alive and having an opportunity for people to own their own house instead of living in Potter's Field, which is, you know, Potter had his own little housing project going on.
You didn't tell us, did the old man stroke out completely?
Yeah, he
did
died.
He didn't just drool all day. George didn't have to take
Peter Bailey's pushing up daisies.
Okay.
Taking a dirt nap. So he gives up his dream to go to college and stay.
Even clutch pieces of that story.
Yeah, that was kind of important.
And stays and takes care of the savings and loan. He gives his college money to Harry, who again goes on to be an All-American in college at football.
So far, I'm thinking about returning this gift.
Right. You keep the receipt.
Yeah. So George waits for Harry to graduate from college, and the plan was for George to run the savings and loan. Harry graduate from college, Harry come back, take over the savings and loan, and George would go on his way to college. So getting a late start, but he was still getting his education. However, when Harry came home, he had he was engaged, and his fiance's father had offered Harry a really good job. So
you did not clarify. Did he get engaged to the sweet one or the slut?
No. George gets married to Mary. Yeah, the sweet one.
Oh man, but he.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
He was banging the slut on the side.
No, not really. He tried to once, but she wouldn't go for it. Anyway, when Harry graduates, he brings home his wife, and he gets a job offer. So, you know, George is stuck, right?
Right.
Because Harry says, I'll take over the savings and loan. But George, being the nice guy that he is, says, no, I'll stay. You go get the good job with your father-in-law. So George ends up marrying young Mary Hatch, and they save up for a honeymoon. So at least he's going to go on a trip, right?
Right.
He wants to travel. So he's going to New York on her honeymoon. But guess what?
Who had the biggest boobs between Violet and Mary?
I think Violet did.
No. He picked the wrong woman.
Mary was, what's her name? Who was Mary? Look at that, Brandy, while we're talking.
I'm not going to do that.
Break that down. No, it's a famous actress. Look it up, Chuck. Write that down. So anyway,
shit, then there's a woman.
That's right. Kroger would never ask me to look anything up.
George marries Mary, but they have the money. They're getting ready to go on a honeymoon, but then there's a run on the bank. So they use all of their savings to give people money so that the bank doesn't close. So he kept the savings and loan open with all the hard-earned money that they were going to use for their honeymoon.
Brandy, that's amazing.
You're getting a little teary-eyed.
I'm not. That's pretty fucking stupid.
Mm-hmm. So you would have went on the vacation.
Yeah, and not come back. Screw it.
So anyway, what happens next? He saves his savings and loan. He starts Bailey Park, which is an affordable housing project, which is, you know, kind of cool. People could buy their own homes and live there. And
oh, you know who was his wife?
Yeah.
Was it Donna? It was Donna Reed.
Donna Reed, yes, that's who I was thinking of, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Didn't she go on to become something famous?
The Donna Reed show.
Yeah.
She's Donna Reed.
Violet, poo-wee, I bang her like a set of bongos.
All right, yeah, Violet was kind of hot.
So, you know what? What I'd want for Christmas.
What?
Donna Reed?
I'd want a three-way with Donna Reed and Violet.
But they're both dead.
I wonder if you ever got that.
They're both dead. I don't know. Well. Anyway, Potter, I got tired of losing tenants to George Bailey in Bailey Park. So he says, if you can't beat him, join him. So he tries to hire George, offers him a lot of money, offers him an opportunity to travel, maybe to go to Europe every now and then. And George almost takes him up on the offer, and then he comes to his senses, and he rejects it, angrily rejects it. And in 1941, what happens, Colonel?
The Japanese bomb Pearl Harbor, Timmy.
The war starts. And every little town was affected by World War II, including Bedford Falls. As all able-bodied men in town joined the armed forces to fight, including George's brother, Harry.
But George's cowardly ass stayed home because he had one bad ear.
He had a bad ear. He got a status of 4F.
Here's what I never understood about that.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
You got
Now, let's just say you get a... You go and... It's like, oh, one of my legs is shorter than the other.
Yeah.
All right? So you go to Iwo Jima. You get your damn leg half blown off. They bandage you up and send you back to fight. Now, one of your legs is already a foot shorter than the other, and you got to still keep fighting. When do you get to 4F?
I don't know, but you know what? You think if someone had hearing problems, they'd be great for artillery.
Yeah, you would think so.
Yeah. But George did not. He got a deferment because of 4F, so he did all the things that you guys did at home that couldn't fight in the war. He did the paper drives, the rubber drives. He did the air raid. You know, he was the air raid sergeant, all that. So anyway, his brother Harry, however, became a Navy flyer.
Of course he did.
And he shot down a plane that was ready to bomb a transport. So he saved thousands of lives, young Harry did. And he won the Medal of Honor.
Of course he did.
On Christmas Eve, 1945, the town was preparing a hero's welcome for young Harry. So everyone was proud, and George is, you know, he was proud, too. He was happy for his brother.
Is this the one where he dies?
Will you please let me finish?
I don't know if he dies. He should.
I feel like I'm dying a little
so
bit.
So Uncle Billy, who was kind of like the retarded uncle.
Yes.
He's the one.
Yeah. He took the deposit for the day to the other bank, the building and loan deposit he took to the bank, $8,000. And he was kind of bragging. He saw Mr. Potter there, you know, the old prick.
Right.
And he was kind of bragging to Mr. Potter, showing him the newspaper that had Harry on the front page. And he handed the newspaper to Mr. Potter, kind of in-your-face type of thing. Mm-hmm. And he didn't realize that he also handed Mr. Potter the $8,000.
Jeez.
Yeah, no. Now, Mr. Potter...
Mr. Potter's had blowing whores for 3 weeks.
He kept the
hookers
money.
Hookers and coke.
He kept the money, and he called the police saying that he wanted he wanted an investigation of the savings and loan. Because he knew, of course, that they did not have the money, and he was trying to get rid of the savings and loan. So, when Uncle Billy could not find the money, him and George frantically searched for it. After berating his uncle for endangering the building alone and probably sending him to prison.
Did he slap him around?
No, he didn't slap him. George didn't do that.
That's too bad.
He was scared. He went home. He frightened his wife and kids because he was stressing out. He was having a panic attack. He needed some Xanax. He was facing prison, so he went to Potter and asked for a loan. And Potter, of course, denied him a loan and asked him for collateral. He said he had a $500 life insurance policy, and Potter laughed and said, "You're worth more dead than alive." So Potter was kind of a prick.
Yeah.
So George gets drunk at the local bar, gets in a fight, crashes his car into a tree. So it's really a bad day for young George Bailey. Yes. He staggers to a bridge and decides to jump and commit suicide. unbeknownst to him, a little inept angel named Clarence had been watching him from
Clarence.
The shadows. Clarence had been Clarence. Watching him in the shadows. Clarence, thinking quickly, see, Clarence needed wings. He was trying to get his wings, but
we all are.
Yeah, we all are. But he was like, you know, he was kind of like mildly retarded. He was just not, you know, he just wasn't getting his wings.
He wasn't full retard.
No, you don't want
to. You can't go full retard.
You can't go full retard.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's seeing George in this plight, so he knows that George would save his life if he thought he was in danger. So Clarence jumps into the water before George does. George sees him, and just like Clarence predicted, he jumps in and saves Clarence from drowning.
Clarence.
So, after they get dried off, get back to land, get dried off, Clarence explains to George that he's his guardian angel. Well, not really his angel, because he don't have wings, but he wants to be his angel. He explains to George that life is precious, but George said he'd be better off if he had never been born. So guess what Clarence does?
What?
He grants him his wish.
Oh.
And he shows George what life would be like if he was never born. Now, among the things that happened, Harry's little brother died. He drowned as a child in the pond because
Harry... You mean George's little brother?
Yeah, George's little brother.
Somebody's little brother.
George's little brother, Harry, drowned as a child because George was not there to save him.
No, you know what that's called?
What?
Darwinism. You walk out onto the thin ice, you
it is.
Yeah. All the men in the transport died.
That just happened on Fargo.
Yeah.
All the men in the transport died because Harry was not around to save him because George was not around to save Harry.
Oh, you know what else I bet
Randy's
happened?
Getting a little teary-eyed
you know
over
what
there.
Else happened? You know what else happened, I bet?
What?
I bet the pharmacist killed 20 people.
No. But Mr. Gower did go to prison for poisoning a child because George was not around to stop the delivery of those drugs.
Where he was subject to repeated sodomy.
The town itself was called Potterville, not Bedford Falls.
Oh, my gosh.
The town was a town of sex and sin.
Yes. Sodom and Gomorrah.
See, strip clubs, casinos, bars, massage parlors, and opium dens.
See, and that's the kind of town. Who doesn't want to live there?
It's Vegas.
It's Vegas.
It is.
George fucked everything up.
He Violet, in this little place. Violet is now a full-fledged whore.
Hell yeah, she is. Violet out earning.
She is out earning.
She's working.
She's working doing her thing, minding her business.
Making it rain.
Making the bacon.
Yeah.
Come on.
Mary was an old maid and worked at the library.
No, yeah, fuck Mary. No. Mary was.
Nobody gives
Mary
a crap
worked
about
down
Mary.
At the local truck stop.
I'm she telling
was,
you.
Nobody
I'm
cared about
she'd
Mary.
Give a hummus.
Donna Reed is down at the library.
She's at the truck stop giving hummus.
George's mother was a recluse.
Well, she was a recluse.
She's
after
down
he
at
died.
The truck stop giving hummus.
Yeah. So
she's giving the gummers.
Yeah,
so, at the truck stop.
So now, seeing what the world like was like without him, George started praying. Oh God, I want to live again. I want to live again.
I want to live.
I want to live. I want to live.
And his wish was granted. Don't he was back.
Should I go up to the hospital?
He was happy, even though there was a warrant out for his arrest. People from all over the community came to aid him and give him money.
Oh,
including,
ain't that sweet.
Including his old boss, Mr. Gower, and his old friend, Sam Rainwater.
E-oh.
What is that?
E-oh.
This is stupid.
I believe this was. He
so you're, with
the,
so you're friends
Gower
with the town crazy.
Now the dude was rich. The moral of the story, Brandy, I want you to think about this, is that no man is alone who has friends. Clarence got his wings.
I believe it's the lives matter.
Yeah.
Clarence got his wings?
Yes.
Clarence Carter got his wings.
Not Clarence Carter. Clarence Angel.
Clarence Thomas.
Not Clarence Thomas. The Angel.
I've tapped all of the Clarences that I...
Yeah. So, this whole bullshit thing was so some half-retard angel could get some wings?
Well, no.
They made a movie about that.
This is to show you the importance of friends, and that's why I wanted to tell you this story so that you can appreciate me more.
Okay. Last year, not last year, this was a long time ago because the kids were little. They bought me a shirt.
Mm-hmm.
There was like three sizes too small.
Uh-huh.
Well, it was an ugly shirt. An ugly ass shirt.
And it might not have been three sizes too small if you'd laid off the double bacon cheeseburger.
But let me just tell you, it was a better fucking gift than that. All right? How are you going to give this as a gift?
You don't
it's
have
already
to thank,
gone.
You don't have to thank me, really. So now, it is your turn to say nice things worry. About me. Take your time.
This bullshit.
Well, you're the cheapest of Mr. Potter. It's like right. We're for Mr. Potter.
It is like that.
Yeah. I thought you would we love this podcast.
No, you didn't think that
I
at all.
I thought you would love this gift.
Yeah. You've met us. You know we wouldn't have loved that.
So you're going to... So you exploited us all year, Timmy. Exploited us.
Exploited us and our just, good nature.
And you took advantage of our good nature.
How did I exploit you?
And you just
going
to end the year with a big old exclamation point.
Exclamation.
Exclamation.
An exclamation point.
Now, I thought you would
bang us harder.
I thought you would be overwhelmed, and you would be. Frankly, I thought you'd be a little teary eyed at this.
Could you next year just take us a lunch for fuck's sake?
Okay. Any final thoughts on the wonderful life of George Bailey?
Didn't even buy my Wendy's today,
motherfucker. I ain't buying you nothing now. When that package comes from Amazon,
I can't afford to buy
myself.
You lunch. Double bacon cheeseburgers.
Wow.
They're a dollar. They anyway, cost a dollar.
I want it noted, he took his entire staff to the boathouse, yes. But he can't afford to buy you lunch.
Buy me a gift. He can't afford
I
to can, buy me
I
a can, $1
I,
bacon cheeseburger.
I could afford to buy it. I'm concerned about your health, Colonel. You're putting on a few pounds.
If you were concerned about my health, you wouldn't give me such a fucked up Christmas present and get my blood pressure all up.
I thought that this is something that you, a unique gift, that it would be something that you
no,
would trade.
No, it's unique.
For.
You know why it's unique? Nobody wants a motherfucker. That's why.
Well, you got it out of the bargain bin.
I'm here waiting for my gift now, so you can give it to me anytime.
Okay, here you go. You know,
you should keep waiting.
Here's a napkin. Take that. Merry Christmas.
All right. Do we have any final thoughts or any final wishes to our listeners on this very special week here at Christmas in 2015?
I would just like
happy
to...
Holiday.
Brandy,
happy holidays.
Brandy, say give some shout-outs, Brandy, to some people. Some people like you.
Well,
say Merry Christmas to some of our listeners.
Merry Christmas to my brother, Casey, that
yes,
listens.
Casey. We can't wait for you to come back and do a podcast with us.
And Tara from Ireland, and I would also like to say, what the hell? Thank you, Allie, for listening and
Allie?
Commenting.
And yes, your Aunt Beverly. Allie.
And my Aunt Beverly, she listens too. So, and Merry Christmas, everybody, if you can hear me over this god awful din.
This is Bruce singing Merry Christmas, baby, to our listeners.
All right.
All right.
Colonel, Merry Christmas to Renee.
Merry Christmas, Mrs. Colonel.
Mrs. Colonel, to
nice
Taylor,
catch.
To Tanner.
To Taylor.
Logan.
Logan, Sarah.
To Sarah.
And
I'm
most
screaming.
Most importantly.
Who?
Rudy.
Rudy. Our friends are thinking sideways.
Yeah, our friends are thinking sideways.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll see you all again real soon on History Dreams. Merry Christmas,
Merry
everyone.
Christmas. We'll let Bruce take us out.
All right.
You?
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.